Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Matthew's Gospel, the third chapter. Let us listen for God's word. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the word of God for the people of God. I would like to begin today by sharing with all of you a bit about our church-wide theme for the coming year and how it has come about. The first piece of this puzzle is something that many of you already know about me. I'm a huge fan of Mr. Rogers. In fact, I consider him one of my heroes and role models for faith and life. With his show debuting at about the same time I was born, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was an integral part of my childhood. I remember watching the program on PBS almost daily, along with Sesame Street, Captain Kangaroo, and The Electric Company. When I got my first record player, Mr. Rogers' albums were the first I played. I went to sleep many a night listening to his soothing voice and calming songs. They helped me navigate my nightmares as well as the ups and downs of growing up. Like many others in my generation, however, I quickly outgrew Mr. Rogers and moved on to more sophisticated fare like the Brady Bunch, the Partridge Family, and the Monkees. For many years, his TV show and those records were relegated to the back of my closet and the neglected corners of my memory. When my own children were born, Sophie and Ben did get to see a few episodes on TV, but his show was taken off the air by the time Sam came along. Then about 3 years ago, I started to notice a revival in all things Mr. Rogers. Perhaps it has been the increasing polarization, nastiness, and bitterness in society around us, or the sense of increasing isolation that many feel in our fast-paced digital world. Or maybe it's the sense that our social structures are crumbling and our social fabric is unraveling, and there is little we can do to stop it. I don't know. But few documentaries have been met with the amount of anticipation and acclaim to which Won't You Be My Neighbor premiered in September of 2018. And then, soon after, it was announced that Tom Hanks would play Mr. Rogers in a feature film called A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, and that's when we really knew Mr. Rogers had hit the big time. It doesn't get much bigger than that. And I will say, as an aside, we are going to have a few movie nights here over the next few months in which we will show the documentary as well as the film once it comes out at the end of February, because they are really wonderful. While we Presbyterians have always been proud to claim Fred Rogers as one of our own, he was an ordained Presbyterian minister, it wasn't until the past few years that I rediscovered what a profound effect he has had on my life and faith, and just how relevant his message still is for us today. The second piece in the thematic puzzle came up at our November worship design meeting. We were discussing our Advent and Christmas theme, living the Nativity, and we were brainstorming creative ways to bring the Nativity to life for us today. And as we thought about the angel Gabriel, who was sent to bring good news to Mary, we wondered, what is the good news that we need to hear today? And who is it that is bringing this good news to us today? We tossed around all kinds of ideas, the mailman, the UPS truck driver, a news reporter, or maybe the internet. When someone mentioned Mr. Rogers and his message of caring and kindness, all of a sudden we were talking about how desperately we needed to hear such a message today, especially as we enter into what many expect to be a very tumultuous and ugly year politically. While we ultimately decided that Gabriel would visit us as a news reporter, thank you, John Bentley, it was clear that we had hit a nerve and that this might be leading us to think about something bigger in our worship and life together as a church. Maybe we could make 2020 our year of kindness. These thoughts and ideas continued to rattle around in my mind, providing other connecting puzzle pieces to start to fill in the theme. And then last weekend happened. Our church was one target in a six-site vandalism spree here in Yorktown that included four houses of worship or religious targets. While only 9 of our sanctuary window panes were broken, and as you can see, they have all been completely repaired thanks to our amazing operations folks, this incident has provoked many thoughts and feelings and questions among us in our congregation, as well as in our broader community. From anger to sadness, from why us to what is this world coming to? In the past week, Chip and I have been involved with several meetings with the town board, the local police, and our interfaith clergy group. And through it all, through all of the hand-wringing over this unprecedented violence in Yorktown and the many heartfelt declarations of solidarity and support we have received, this theme of what it means to be part of a neighborhood, a community, even our world, just keeps coming up. For us people of faith, this conversation should be nothing new for us. From God's chosen people in the Old Testament to the body of Christ in the New Testament, our Christian faith and the Bible have a lot to say about what it means to be a good neighbor and about our calling as disciples to build neighborhoods and communities that reflect God's hopes and promises, God's values and plans for our lives and our world. So over the next year, with Mr. Rogers as one of our guides, we are going to visit God's neighborhood. And we are going to meet some of our neighbors there, some who have been there a long time, and some who have just moved here, so that we can learn together how to be good neighbors and to live in community with God, one another, and this world God loves. Any of you who have seen Mr. Rogers' neighborhood will remember that each episode included a visit to the neighborhood of make-believe. Viewers followed the neighborhood trolley through the tunnel in Mr. Rogers' living room wall into an imaginative world in which anything could happen and everything could be talked about. In the neighborhood of make-believe, puppet characters and their human friends grew and learned together as they dealt with their feelings and the ups and downs of life. As we visit God's neighborhood this year, each week we are going to visit the neighborhood of We Believe. The neighborhood of We Believe is not a magical world or a fantasy world, but it is a spiritual world, a world revealed to us in the scriptures, where we hear the story of who God is and who we are and who God calls us to be. So today, our first visit to the neighborhood of We Believe coincides with Baptism of the Lord Sunday. This is the day when we remember and celebrate Jesus' baptism by John in the Jordan River. And it's the day we are invited to remember our own baptism. Now, this may seem like a big jump in the story. We've just spent the last 6 weeks in Advent and Christmas, preparing for and celebrating Jesus' birth. Just last week, the Magi visited a very young Jesus. And now this week, he is an adult, seeking out his cousin John and finding his identity and purpose for the future. But maybe it's not as strange a jump as we think. Last Sunday, we celebrated Epiphany. It's a day of revelation, and God's revelation that Jesus is not just a savior for the Jewish people or a select group of people, but for all the world. Epiphany marks not only the end of the Advent and Christmas seasons, but it also marks the beginning of a season of divine revelation, which leads us right into Lent and Easter. Each week after Epiphany, we are meant to catch a new glimpse and grow in our understanding of who Jesus is as the Son of God and the Savior of the world. So what does Jesus' baptism reveal to us today? Although there's a lot that we could talk about in these four short verses, today I'd like to focus on what happens when Jesus comes up out of the water. John has just plunged Jesus under the water, and Jesus reemerges, floundering for his footing, sputtering and wiping the water out of his eyes. As he comes up, Jesus sees the heavens open above him, and the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and hovering over him, even resting on his head and shoulders. And then he hears the voice of God say these words, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." In that voice, Jesus hears important words, words of love and acceptance, words of identification and explanation, words of preparation and inauguration. These words reveal the truth both to Jesus and to us about who Jesus really is. Jesus is God's beloved Son. Jesus is known and loved unconditionally by God for who he is. With these words, Jesus is anointed, equipped, and strengthened to begin his ministry on earth, a ministry of teaching and preaching, healing and feeding, welcoming and loving, a ministry which will ultimately lead him right down the road to Holy Week and Easter, to his own death and resurrection, and to our salvation. The good news from the neighborhood of We Believe is that because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, God's words to Jesus at his baptism are also God's words to us at ours. "You are my child, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Whenever we enter into the waters of baptism and commit our lives to following Jesus, we too are reminded of our true identity as beloved children of God, who are known and loved unconditionally for who we are. We too are named and claimed by God, equipped with the Holy Spirit, and strengthened to live Christ's ministry of love in our own lives, in our own neighborhoods, in our world. To paraphrase the Apostle Paul, we are adopted into God's family, and we become brothers and sisters with Christ and neighbors to one another. This is the very foundation of life in God's neighborhood, that each and every one of us is a beloved child of God who is known and loved unconditionally for who we are, named and claimed and gifted with the Holy Spirit to live faithful lives, not just in the neighborhood of We Believe, but also in our homes, our church, our schools and workplaces, our neighborhoods and communities, our nation and our world. So does anyone remember how every episode of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood ends? Anybody remember? Each day, he sings a song. He ends with the same song, "It's Such a Good Feeling," which he sang while he changed out of his cardigan and sneakers and back into his suit and dress shoes. And as the song ended, he ended every program with some version of these same words. "You've made this day a special day, just by being you. There's no one else in the whole world like you. Just you, yourself. You are special. I'll see you next time." Every day, Fred Rogers left his television neighbors with the message that they were known and loved just for being themselves. and that they didn't need to be or do anything else for him to show up again tomorrow to be their friend and neighbor. This message flowed directly out of Fred Rogers' faith and the fundamental notion in Christianity that each and every one of us is a beloved son or daughter of God, that we don't ever have to do anything sensational for people to love us, and that we are endowed by our Creator with good. How would our neighborhood, how would our world today be different if everyone heard this simple truth every day? And what if we actually believed it and lived our lives by it? It may sound ridiculously simple to some of us, but God knew what was coming for Jesus. Right after his baptism, Jesus is immediately sent out into the wilderness, a place where his identity and his faith would be tested, a place filled with voices and forces that would try to deter him from being who God created and called him to be. Mr. Rogers also understood that all of us, even the youngest children in our midst, have to live in a world that challenges our God-given identity almost daily. A world filled with voices and forces that make us doubt who and whose we are and who we are called to be. This is why the great reformer Martin Luther would remind himself regularly, and most especially when he faced great challenges or threats, he said to himself, "I am baptized. I am baptized. I am a beloved child of God, named and claimed by God, known and loved unconditionally for who I am, no matter what else is happening in the world around me." We are, each and every one of us, beloved children of God. This is the truth that grounded everything Jesus did. This is the truth that helped Martin Luther stand up to the biggest powers of his day. This is the truth that Fred Rogers shared every day with his television friends and neighbors. This is the truth at the heart of our individual identities and our life together in God's neighborhood. May this truth, this good news, equip us and strengthen us in the year ahead to be good neighbors as God calls us to be. Amen.